James is talking about the tongue, and he says, basically he's saying the tongue is a difficult thing to deal with. We all struggle from time to time with our tongue. Proverbs reminds us, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. James, as we start James chapter 3, he says this about this whole subject. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships, for an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. It makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Perfectly timed imagery for us this morning, amen? As what we've just gone through in the last, and even continue to pray. Verse 6, the tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it's in itself on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's restless evil, full of deadly poison. With our tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, and we curse human beings. We have been made, who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can fig trees bear olives? Grapevines bear figs? Can salt produce spring water? No. Can't do it. James is warning us about the things that are coming off our tongue. And this is like the kind of the balance. These 12 verses is like the major balance of what he has to say about the tongue. But I want to remind you and point out to you that the entire book, if you will, all the chapters have something about the words of our mouth. But a few scriptures that we've already discovered. James chapter 1 said, my brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. It's about our tongue. Verse 26 of that same chapter. Those who consider themselves religious and don't keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Chapter 2, verse 12. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. James chapter 4, which we'll get to in a few weeks, but let me give it to you. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or a sister judges them and speaks against the law and judges it. And chapter 5, verse 12, above all, brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you'll be condemned. I think we get the point. James makes it really clear the tongue can have a really strong influence on our lives, but it also has a strong influence on our witness to the world. All you've got to do is open your mouth and you reveal what's going on in your heart. The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we're claiming Christ, we claim to know Christ, we claim to be the body of Christ. Let's be cautious that what's coming out of our mouths reflect that same claim. Are you hearing me, church? He gives us this instruction. He starts with a little bit of a warning to people like myself, those of you that want to teach, understand you're going to be judged. I used to joke that God's not taking notes on my messages. He actually is. He's paying real close attention to what I say. That's an important thing to note. But then he uses these two powerful images to me of control. He talks about the bit in a horse's mouth or a rudder on a huge ship. How this little bit. Anybody here have horses? What, really? In Alpine? That's almost a shock. Like, that shocked me. If I'd have asked this 30 years ago, everybody would have raised their hand. That's how Alpine used to be. Anyway, well, I don't like horses. I don't have nothing against them. I'm just never going to ride one, ever. I got on one when I was 5 years old here in Alpine. It bucked me off and stepped on me, and that's it. Never have to get on another. Now, horsepower, I'm good with horsepower, but not horses. But I think about, I don't know how much a horse weighs. That's why I asked if anybody's a horse. 2,000 pounds-ish? Okay. 2,000 pounds controlled by this little bit in the mouth. Just, that's a powerful thing. I don't know how much an aircraft carrier weighs. But I'm sure 55,000 tons. just needed to happen to have Leo in the service today. As I didn't know what it was. 55,000 tons steered by a little rudder. Now, relatively speaking, it's probably a very large rudder compared to many other boats, but compared to the ship, to the 55,000 tons, it's amazing. Same thing with your tongue. Compared to the rest of your body, it's amazing what this 2 to 3 ounce piece of flesh can do to your body and can mess up in your with this 2 ounce thing. You can mess your whole day up. You can mess somebody else's day up as well. Hello. It's amazing how the disproportionate influence that my tongue has on my world and on the way I look at things. I got to be, number one, I'm also, not only am I saying things, but when I'm saying it, I'm hearing them, which is reinforcing what I'm saying. Now I'm starting to believe it. Well, we can focus on the negative, which we're going to mainly focus on the negative, but for just a moment, let's focus on the positive. You know, you can speak life, you can speak positivity, you can speak constructively, we can go there. But since we're kind of human beings and we all struggle with this a little bit, let's stay on the negative side a little bit. We'll get to the positive in a minute. But let's talk about how we can tame our tongue. He says that it's difficult to do this. He talks about fresh water and salt water don't flow from the same spring, and a fig tree can't bear olives. Basically, he's saying a good heart shouldn't produce bad words, cutting words, sarcastic words, hateful words, hurtful words. James is warning that no human being can tame the tongue. When he says that, right away, my thought process is, what's the point? I mean, why even try? Here's why I try. Because no human being can do it. But with God, all things are. So I need God's help. Holy Spirit, I need your help today to make sure that I'm saying things that come from the heart of God, from the throne room of God, and not just things. With God, all things are possible. In the natural, taming the tongue would be futile. That's why we need the help of the Holy Spirit. So let's just jump right into how we can tame the tongue today. First of all, we, and when I say we, I'm talking about me, y'all. We need to learn when we should not say anything. There are times where you should, that you have the right to remain silent, and you should, right? Aren't there some of those times where it just, it'd be wise to just to keep silent in a situation? Someone once wisely said, our chances of blowing it with our tongue is in direct proportion to the amount of time we spend talking. Sometimes when I get into a scenario, I'll say argument, but that's probably not the word. But when I'm in a debate or an argument, many times I'll just let the other person talk, and they just pretty much talk them into, they tell on themselves. They don't really know what they're talking about is what I'm saying. You can just let them talk. There are times where it's just good to just kind of sit back and not say anything. Don't answer a fool with wrath. Don't answer. There are times where it's important. Yes, we got to be honest with one another. But there are times where you don't say anything. There's some great jokes there. You don't always tell your spouse the exact truth every time. Right? Like, does this outfit make me, you can finish it. There are times where you just don't say it. One of my friends was golfing in South Florida this last week or week two back, and he came home and they were supposed to go out to dinner, and he looked at his wife and he said to her, man, it was hot out there. Do I need to take a shower before we go out to dinner? And she goes, do you want me to be the loving wife or the honest wife? Ladies, I gave that to you. That's a freebie for you today, because now you got the opportunity to know how you can answer that. It's important that we know when to not say anything. One of the places that it's a great place to practice not saying anything is in the presence of God. Habakkuk and Zephaniah speak to this. One says, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Zephaniah reminds us, be silent before the sovereign Lord, for the day of the Lord is near. In Bible terms, there are times where we should speak and we should not speak. And Proverbs reminds us, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint. Restraint, meaning that you do have the ability to restrain your tongue. Some people might try and claim that they don't have the ability to restrain their tongue. And then they get into a scenario where they need to restrain their tongue. And it's amazing how well they restrain their tongue. Y'all probably can't relate at all to that situation. Let me give you some profound wisdom this morning. If you don't hear anything else, this might be the best thing you hear all day. But if you hear these words come out of your mouth, I probably shouldn't say anything. Stop right there. If that sentence ends with "but," I probably shouldn't say anything about Michael, but then you probably shouldn't say anything. Are you hearing me? Mom said if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. This is the same mom that called me stupid all the time. I'm just saying. I'm not bitter. I'm just telling you that's what happened. Words, here's my point. Words hurt. Words wound. Words stick. Words sting. Words stick with you your entire life sometimes. There are words that I know that were spoken over me, horrible words that were spoken over me. I'm not bitter about them. Every once in a while when they come back up, it's not even painful to me. It's like, wow, they were wrong. God, you were righter. That's all. I just go, whoa, that's awesome. So I just celebrate the rightness of God because he was righter than they were. Oh, he'll never amount to anything. I remember that phrase, Mr. Martin. Sixth grade teacher. What? I missed that. Oh, you freaked me out there for a minute. That's probably true. All I know is this. When we speak words, we need to make sure that we speak words that are life-giving. Words that will bring glory to God in our situation. Here's what the scripture says. A perverse person who stirs up conflict and gossip separates close friends. Solomon reminds us, gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Remember this, if they'll gossip to you, they'll gossip. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably shouldn't say anything, Lori, but no, Lori's supposed to at that point go, then don't. If I get as far as naming a name, I probably shouldn't say anything, Lori, but Deanna, then she stops and goes, you know what, let's go talk to Deanna about that before you tell me what it is. See how you mess with the gossip? You suck the teeth right out of a gossiper right then and there. See, let me just say this. I think it's important to say it. Just because you're right doesn't give you the right to be mean. You could be right. Doesn't give you the right to be loud. Sometimes, like, louder doesn't mean you're winning in the argument. But you may be dead right, but if you haven't earned the right to be heard, you're not going to be heard. I'll give you some free advice, church. You know, in other words, you might absolutely be right, but you haven't earned the right to be heard in that person's life. And so you go over and you try and tell them how the cow ate the cabbage, and they're just going to look at you and go, who are you? Somebody else comes along that has earned the right to be heard in their life and says the exact same thing. And they're like, wow, thank you for that advice. I didn't realize that about the situation. There's a time and a place and a tone. And the ability to use that is a good thing, to use that kind of discernment. There are times where we have to speak painful words of honesty, like, honey, can you brush your teeth again? Super rude, huh? Or do you just let it go? So just that's honesty, but it's in... I'm sorry, it is what it is. We all, nobody here has bad breath ever. So it happens. And so you just kind of honestly say, because I'm watching out for you. Or like you got a little something on your shirt right there. Brandy always gets me with that. Hits me in the face every time. I'm like, oh, I'm an old man. Leave me alone. Just mess with me. There's a time for honesty and there's a place for that. My wife and I, we learned this communication thing, is we're pretty good at it, I think. So much so that I'm like, I'm not doing this again. I don't want to have to learn anybody else. This is it. My one and only lotto ticket. Boom. And she doesn't want to have to learn anybody else either. Because I've been a hard ride. I'm just saying, it's been rough. So here's the point. I had to talk to her about something that we were serious. I mean, it was hurting me. It was on my nerves. It was a situation that we had to address. And man, I said, can we go to lunch? Yeah, let's go to lunch. Well, that was innocuous enough. Now we're sitting down at lunch and we order and I go, hey, I need to talk to you about something. All the husbands and wives right now just went, oh. Yeah, because that's exactly how she felt in that moment. I feel the same way when she says the same thing. But you know what? Because the timing was right and it wasn't at a time where we were both rubbed raw in situations and life wasn't messing with us and all that. And it was, you know, we're having lunch. We were about to eat. So who's not happy when you're just about to eat? And so it was the perfect timing to bring up this thing. And we had a wonderful conversation. It was loving. It was resolving. It was an issue. She had no idea. She didn't see it. We talked about it. Boom, done. End of story. Never talked about it again. That's how that's supposed to happen. But I had to tame my tongue because I'm open my mouth, stick my foot in all the time. And I'm the one that likes to fix it now. So if we've got an issue, let's fix it now. But I had to actually wait till the timing was right. And who helped me with that was the Holy Spirit, because I used to just have to fix it right away. We need to learn there's a time and a place for those conversations. The wisest words in scriptures, I believe, probably some of the wisest words in scriptures are to the Colossian church, where Paul writes, "Let your conversation be always filled with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." New Living Translation says, "Let your conversation be gracious and attractive." The message says the goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not to put them down, not to cut them out. Paul is saying that grace ought to be in our hearts when we speak, so much so that our words are actually seasoned by the Holy Spirit. They're not just your words. Let me give you another thing about it. It's not about speaking the right words at the right time. What about speaking them with the anointing? It could be the right word, even at the right time. But if you let the Holy Spirit get in on it, the word's not only going to be powerful, timely, it'll be anointed. You can let the Holy Spirit speak through you in those moments. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Our goal, Paul said, when we converse, is to bring out the best in other people around them, to build them up and not tear them down in any way. That's what gracious talk looks like. I was raised in a very negative environment. Everybody said, I was raised in a dysfunctional. We were all dysfunctional human beings. So we put the fun in dysfunctional in my family. But a very negative environment. So consequently, I was a very negative teenager, very negative about a lot of things. Moved out of my house when I was 18, moved in with a family who picked up very quickly on my negativity and my propensity to negativity. So they made the quarter, the attitude can. I had to put a quarter in there every time that I would say something negative about myself, which eventually kind of cured me, especially around them. It costed me money. So I see, you can tame your tongue when it starts to cost you money. And so I'm taming my tongue and I'm learning all these things. I had to learn how to not be negative. Well, consequently, because I know that about my human nature and the way I was raised, I don't hang out with negative people. Do I know negative people? Yes. I'm not looking at any of them right now. But I don't hang out with them. I might even be friends with them. But I'm going to limit my time and my exposure to that, because I know it's not about them. It's more about me guarding my heart. Because if I don't guard my heart, stuff's going to start coming out of my mouth that I don't want to come out of my mouth. And I just feel like at this point, I've grown too much to go back there. So God, thanks for growing me out of that. From time to time, I find myself in that mess and I have to ask God for his forgiveness. And I got to repent. I'll tell you what. You want to stop talking negatively? Here's a life hack. Talk positively. Yeah. Amen. You're dismissed. Yeah. It's so stinking easy, and yet such a struggle. If it weren't such a struggle, James wouldn't be addressing it. It's a life hack. You want another life hack for how to stop being negative? Instead of putting negativity on your tongue and on your lips, put praise on your lips. Because you can't be praising God and complaining about the government at the same time. You can't be praising God and complaining about your kids at the same time. Praising God and complaining about your boss and your lack of a paycheck and all that. You can't. Put praise on your lips. Tame your tongue. I mean, there's a time and a place to speak the truth, but we're going to speak it in love. The famous Shema prayer of Israel begins like this. I use it when we talk about baby dedications, but there's a point here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today that are beyond your hearts, impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and your gates. What he's basically saying is, listen, let's keep your households a place of praise. Keep the word alive. Talk about Jesus around the dinner table. I know, it's year 2019. Nobody sits around the dinner table anymore. I grew up sitting around a dinner table. We might have been eating fish sticks and, you know, and government cheese, but we were around the dinner table and we talked. And I heard about God. I heard about the Navy. I heard about a lot of things I didn't want to hear about. What he's saying is our conversations, if you want to shift the environment in your household, shift the environment in your household by changing the conversation, by putting praise, put praise on the radar. This morning, before you got to church, fire up the worship. Show up ready to go so that we don't have to get to the last song before you're going for it. So I'm saying, like, it's just like, show up with the treadmill already going in your heart. Let's go. Let's do this thing. It'll make you want to get here earlier, by the way. Just as an aside, life hack. Paul said in the middle of his instructions to the Ephesian church about relationships, he said this: be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything and in everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think I've ever spoken to anyone in a song, but I know when my heart has had a song in it, how I've spoken, the tone that I've had, when I've been spending time in prayer. How many of you are doing the staying thirsty for 30? 10 minutes of prayer, 10 minutes of praise, 10 minutes of hello. When I do that, when I put that early on the radar in the early in the day, it sure helps my day go better. Put a scripture in my heart, just get the thing in, man, I'm going to chew on that all day long. Let that come off my lips instead of something else. Let what's coming off my tongue bring honor and praise to God. Let it bring light and glory to God. Let it be salty, not in the bad way. Salty in a way that affects somebody around us because we spoke. May they be happy they ran into me today. Instead of like, dang, I wish I hadn't run into him today. The words of our mouth and our tongue. Worship team, I want you to come. Here's how I want to end this. I want to challenge you and encourage you to something else. This may feel like, you know, I feel like a father. That's what a pastor is. Pastor is kind of like a father, the father of this house in some sense. But can I just encourage us to do something really different? I don't know how different it is, but maybe let's just see what happens. You know, the scripture says we can change the atmosphere of our homes if we'll just pray and worship and spend time in prayer and talk about God. Well, I want you to do something for me. And for you. And that is, for the 30 days, is there 30 days in November? 30 days. And I had to say the thing in my head just now, by the way. Everybody else? For the 30 days of November, I want to challenge you. For those of you who don't have social media, forget what I'm talking about. Just tune out. I want to challenge you to put something thankful you're thankful for right off the bat, beginning of the day. Something you're thankful for to God every single day. I dare you to do that. And then see if after 30 days of doing that, you haven't shifted your thought processes about how you handle social media, but not only that, how you maybe change the environment of your social media. I've got folks that are my friends. Really, we're really close friends. I never see what they post on Facebook anymore. Why? Because I don't want to see what they post on Facebook anymore. Because it bothers me how negative it is. And so I love you. But I just don't need to have, I don't need to wake up in the morning and go on Facebook and get slimed. I want to be blessed. I want someone to say something that's going to encourage me and uplift me. In fact, if you want to say, the world's a mess today, but God's in control, I'm good with that. But something for the next 30 days, every single day, putting something on your wall that's just gratitude, thankful, I'm thankful. Because you can absolutely change your environment with the word. Now, that's keyboard, but we're talking about the tongue. But it's the same thing, because we don't have to use our tongues anymore. We don't really talk anymore. We text. So, the taming of the text. That's probably more appropriate. The taming of the text.